The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all done without any types of manipulation because we're not conning anybody. We're not trying to raise money. We're certainly not trying to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join anything. What I would like to ask you to do is to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. If that's possible and I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to. But thank you for listening to The Flatline. This is show 993 Sundays that we've been on the air. I'm very grateful for God's grace provisions that made all of this possible. And I'm very grateful to all of you that are listening today. Thank you, wherever you may be. From the East Coast to the West Coast, thank you so very much for listening. Let me say that if you are a Christian, what you're about to hear this morning is something that only the Holy Spirit can help you digest. If you're a Christian, what you're about to hear is something that only the Holy Spirit can help you digest. So I remind you that if you have unconfessed sin in your life, you are in fact quenching the ability of the Holy Spirit to do His job. You may be having a relationship with God that's entirely possible, but not in fellowship with God due to that unconfessed sin. So please, before trying to digest spiritual phenomena like I'm about to give you, make sure you're not quenching the Holy Spirit's power to help you metabolize this information by using the rebound process found in 1 John 1:9. It's our problem-solving device number one. It solves the problem of sin, because sin quenches and grieves the Holy Spirit, and He cannot do His job if you have unconfessed sin in your life. And trying to understand and listen and apply what I give you with unconfessed sin in your life just simply won't work. So 1 John 1:9 says, if we will confess our sin, if is a third-class condition, then He, that's God, will be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remind you of that. Anytime you hear the Word of God taught, you need to be in fellowship so the Holy Spirit can help make the transfer into your human spirit and you can apply it into your life. You know, the importance of learning Scripture is unparalleled in your life and in my life as well. Listen to Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regards to need, Paul the Apostle said, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I hope you heard what the key words in that passage were. For I have learned. There it is. I have learned. In this passage, the Apostle Paul writes that contentment, the wonderful thing we all would like to have, is a learned attitude. Again, listen to the verse. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned, in whatever state I'm in, to be content, satisfied, happy. Now remember that he's imprisoned in Rome and he's awaiting trial. He was confronted with execution because he was preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes back to the church at Philippi in regards to a monetary gift that was being delivered by Epaphroditus. That was a delegate of the Christian community in Philippi. Matter of fact, Paul that loved him a lot called him a brother, a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier in Philippians 2:25. So during the visit, he became ill, and he almost died, by the way. That's Epaphroditus. But he recovered, and he returned to Philippi with his letter that Paul wrote to take back to the church. In this letter, Paul emphasizes the fact that the life of the believer is not based on external circumstances, but rather on internal peace and joy, which are learned attitudes, not normal, for the unbeliever. So how does one learn spiritual disciplines required to execute the Christian life under extreme adverse circumstances? Unfortunately, one must sometimes unlearn the lies they were taught before they can learn the truth of God's Word. What I'm saying is you've got to unlearn some things before you can learn other things. So let's start with that word, I have learned, whatever state I'm in, to be content. The word learned is a Greek word called manthano, M-A-N-T-H-A-N-O, manthano, and that means to increase in knowledge or to be informed. Paul learned not to suffer anxiety by experiencing and by learning the information that he's giving to them. So he learned not to suffer anxiety by his experiences, and they are learning from Paul's letter to them. So you got two people learning. Paul learned through the experiences he went through, and they're learning by what he's writing to them. Jesus called his disciples mathetes, which are learners. That's the word learners. It comes from the word manthano. You and I are instructed to be learners in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're listening to me and you're staying with me the whole 30 minutes of the show, hopefully you're learning something. If you can rightly divide the word of truth, it ought to be pretty obvious, and you can wrongly divide the word of truth just as easy. So the pastor teacher, if he's well qualified, he must learn how to rightly interpret the scriptures before he can teach you accurately. It's unfortunate that a lot of seminaries don't major in this skill as much as they should, of interpreting the scriptures. They major in a lot of other things like pastoral counseling and all this other goofy stuff. But there are a lot of ways to learn. One is by experience, and one is by instruction. For example, you may have told your child, don't touch that hot oven because it'll burn you. But they touched it anyways, and of course they got burned, and that's learning the hard way, learning by experience. It's also true in the scriptures that Christians are instructed not to do certain things, because if they do those things, they're going to get burned. But many of us disregard the warning, and we do it anyhow. We have to learn the hard way, not the easy way. For example, Paul warned the believers in Ephesus about certain individuals they should avoid. This is a warning. He said in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, as he wrote back to Timothy to the church at Ephesus, "But know this," he said, and he's going to give them a warning what they should avoid, "that in the last days perilous times will come." This 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. "Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such these sort of people turn away." Don't associate with them. So you and I are given a warning in this passage. Stay away from lovers of self. Stay away from lovers of money. Stay away from boasters. Stay away from proud people, blasphemers, people that are disobedient to their parents and unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, people who slander, people who have no self-control, people that are brutal and despisers of good, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, and then he said having a false form of godliness. That's quite an extensive list of personality traits of these losers. They are unbelieving and unfaithful people that characterize those who live in the last days. And if we happen to be in the last days, I don't know, no one knows. But if that's true, these are the sort of people that we are being associated with. Sounds like a lot of politicians, to tell you the truth. It's quite an extensive list. Many of these traits could be the resume of some of our political leaders today. But failing to learn by instruction always results in getting burned. It's for this reason that this happens, is to put our confidence in our... The reason this happens is because we put our confidence in our own ability and our own mindset. We think we know better. We think we can discern good and evil, not realizing we've been deceived by the master deceiver, which is Satan himself. These types of individuals are a distraction to your spiritual life. And if you associate with them, it's a mistake. And you will eventually learn the hard way, not the easy way, that these sort of people are users. They are users. They will use you and then lose you, since they have no loyalty to anybody except themselves. It said lovers of self. That ought to give you a hint right there. Lovers of money, that ought to tell you what they're after. Boasters, that ought to tell you what their personality's like. Proud, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. And you get hanging around these sort of people, and this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to get burned. Now, if you go back and read Proverbs, you'll save yourself a lot of heartache. In Proverbs 3, 1 through 2, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Learning God's mandates and in obeying God's mandates gives you and I the ability to have a full and a wonderful life. Do not forget my law. Now, listen, how can you forget what you didn't learn? Obviously, they learned it, and they are told not to forget it. So oftentimes, it has to be refreshed, and repetition is how you do that. So don't forget my laws, and don't fail to keep my mandates if you want to live a long life and have peace. Learning God's mandates, obeying God's mandates, gives us the ability to have a very full and a very wonderful life. Let me give you a little hint here. Humility is teachability. The self-centered, arrogant individual is not teachable, and that's because of their own blind arrogance. Their own self-justification excuses their blatant misbehavior in favor of whatever devious lifestyle they indulge in. That's the trait of the arrogant individual. He's self-centered. Self-justification is his trait. He justifies why he's right and why you're wrong, why he's right and why God's wrong, why he's right and the Bible's wrong. And he justifies his sin through arrogance. And he deceives himself into thinking that he's something when he's not. So this self-justification can then excuse their blatant misbehavior in favor of whatever devious lifestyle they choose to indulge in. Sometimes in order to learn truth and follow divine instructions, we have to understand the lie that we've previously been taught. And this is where organized religion has to be confronted. Because in organized religion, Satan is a master manipulator. Salvation by works, spirituality by works, spirituality by emotional motivation, crusader arrogance, all demand that we clean up the devil's world. And all are ways to distract you from ever grace, growing in grace and thinking in grace and living in grace. Because organized religion will emphasize what you must earn in order to get to heaven. It's not possible. Not even possible. So the master manipulator, which is AKA the devil himself, uses religion to confuse and to distract people from the truth. In Romans 16:17. Listen to what Paul wrote here. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. So the master manipulator that Paul faced here were the Gnostics and the Judaizers who followed in his ministry trying to get people to turn away from what he was teaching. In the New Testament, the Judaizers were what we call a group of Jewish Christians who were insisting that their co-religionists should follow the Mosaic Law and that Gentiles convert to Christianity must first of all be circumcised. So Paul had to put up with these sort of Judaizers. And then the other side, you had the Gnostics he had to deal with. So if someone comes to know Christ, the Judaizers would say, all right, now you got to follow the law of Moses, and you got to be circumcised. Listen to Colossians 2:8. Beware, look out, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, that's the Gnosticism, and empty deceit, that's the Judaizers, according to the traditions of men, not according to the basic principles of the Word of God. According to the basic principles of the world, he says, not according to what Christ taught. So you have to be careful that you can not get cheated through philosophy and empty deceit. You must be careful about that. In both of these verses where Paul read you, Romans 16:17 and Colossians 2:8. Again, Colossians 2:8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. In these two verses, we're warned not to fall for the lies of the cosmic recruiter, the person who seeks to mislead your thinking. Our Lord made it plain to the disciples that they would face tremendous opposition in their own ministry as they attempted to spread the gospel after he left. In John 16:2, here's what he told them. And this probably made them break out in a cold sweat. He said in John 16:2, "They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think he's offering God a favor or doing God a good service." That's what's coming down the road for those disciples. And they certainly experienced martyrdom. Every one of them did, except for John, who wound up on the Isle of Patmos. So what I offer you on this particular show called The Flatline is just truth from the Scriptures, not some sort of emotional motivation, not some sort of solicitation, but truth from the Scriptures. We don't offer gimmicks and games, no appeals for money, nothing for sale, just truth from the living Word of God, living Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is alive and powerful. When you put it into your soul, when you learn it, when you use it, it whittles you into what shape God wants you to be. God is a master whittler, and he does it through his Word in your soul. Being taught truth, obeying truth, listening to what the Scriptures tell you, that's two different things. Being taught the truth and then obeying the truth is two different things. Some call it the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. That's one way they put it. But the actual word used in the original writings are the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and the word epignosis. These words both mean knowledge, but one means full knowledge. Epi is a preposition meaning full, and gnosis is the word knowledge. So you can have gnosis, and it doesn't do you any good if it's not epignosis. That's the difference between knowledge and full knowledge. It's the difference between hearing it and keeping it. In Proverbs 13:16, the Bible says, "Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open to his folly." If you're going to live your life according to God's wonderful plan, you must have some knowledge. And the only way you're going to get that knowledge is to learn it. And the only way you're going to learn it is by means of God the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus Christ said he would send to you as a private tutor, a counselor for you, and he will teach it to you. So when you, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the opportunity to listen to the instruction of the Word of God, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't quench and grieve him and expect to learn anything. He can't do his job if you've done that. And then once you hear it, all it is gnosis. You understand it. Okay, I went to church, I heard it, and I understood it, and I left, and I went to eat, and I forgot it. Well, if you don't apply it into your life, it never can become epignosis, full knowledge. Full knowledge is the completion of the act of learning. You hear it, you learn it, you apply it into your life. That's the way it has to go. So let me give you some principles here. The knowledge of the operational skills of the spiritual life produces many amazing results. And they are amazing, I promise you. When you learn to live the spiritual life, you learn to have comprehension. Comprehension is the first of these operational skills. The mature believer can comprehend what's going on around him. This comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it makes us all equal in the ability to comprehend Bible doctrine. Because spiritual maturity is not limited to human IQ. You might not be the brightest bulb in the tank, but if you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, you can learn the Word of God just as easy as a genius can. Because it's learning and applying is your volition, but the learning is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to act in a wonderful way to help you metabolize the information. And so regardless of your IQ, you can comprehend God's plan and God's will for your life. That's one of the operational skills of the spiritual life, and what a wonderful skill it is. And then there's the operational skill of memory. And that's the mental capacity to retain in the stream of consciousness and also to recall. You hear those two words, retain and recall, the Word of God, the metabolized Word of God, that you learned, anything you learned for specific circumstances in your life. So you have some situation come up in your life and you say, you know, what would God have me do about this? If you have memory, if you have the mental capacity to retain it, this is what the Holy Spirit does, and you can recall it, retain and recall that information. But here's the true thing. The rate of learning God's Word has to exceed the rate of forgetting. If you're forgetting more than what you're learning, you're going backwards. And that means that just taking in the Word of God once every couple of weeks doesn't help you. You're not going anywhere if you're not learning and relearning and applying into your life. The rate of learning has to exceed the rate of forgetting. Here's another operational skill in your spiritual life. It's called problem solving. All problem solving devices are manufactured out of the epinosis doctrine in your stream of consciousness. I know I said a lot there, but the epinosis, not just the gnosis, but all of these problem solving devices come from epinosis doctrine in your stream of consciousness. And we'll talk about that in another show. The problem-solving devices that God gives you, we call them the flatline, they are a grace gift from our God which replaces any human viewpoint, any human solution, any psychology, and any defense mechanism. It's a completely different way of living, and that's using the flatline in your soul. So the flatline is not some sort of human viewpoint solution. It's not psychology. It's the Word of God. And it's called the mind of Christ. Think like the mind of Christ thought. That's what we're told to do. So another comprehension skill, another thing that's amazing, is decision making. You'll be able to make decisions. That's an operational skill of the spiritual life. That's your ability and your power to understand the issues in your life and to classify the solution and the course of action that you must take. So that you can make the right decision and do the will of God as revealed in the Scriptures. So we have to first of all understand the facts related to the Word of God before we can exercise our volition to make good decisions from our position of strength. Position of strength is a filling of the Holy Spirit. So if we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we understand the Word of God, we have some epinosis in our soul, then we can make the right decision. Without that, you're just taking your best shot. You're saying, well, I think this is what I should do. And I hear all these excuses. Well, I prayed about it. Well, your prayer probably not even getting answered. I prayed about it, brother. Well, how do you know your prayer is being answered? Were you even in fellowship? Did you try to go to God and pray because you had unconfessed sin in your life? It doesn't work that way. If God wants to speak to you, He's going to speak to you from the Scripture. If He's going to whittle your life away, it's the Scripture. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. That's the whittling away. He's going to cut you till He gets you into what He wants you to be. So you have to have the ability to make decisions. You have to have the ability to solve problems. You have to have the ability to recall information in your soul and to retain it. And you have to have the comprehension to do it through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we come to what's a wonderful thing, which is called awareness. Awareness is having the knowledge of in our stream of consciousness so that we are informed, we're alert, we're knowledgeable about other people, other situations, and circumstances. There's no wisdom in life without the thinking skills of awareness. And that is developed through the problem-solving devices in your soul. Awareness avoids all of these arrogant traps that you can fall into if you are aware of what the Bible says. So our Lord gave you explicit instructions in Matthew 11:28-29. Listen carefully. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. This is what the Word of God is there for. This is why you have a Bible. It's God's written instructions for you, and you must learn it. As you learn it and put it in your soul, it's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So the Word of God will whittle you away into the person that God wants you to be, like a master whittler would take a piece of wood and carve something out of it. God will bake you into the person He wants you to be as the Word of God in your soul is alive and powerful, doing its job. Think about that. Acquiring the mind of Christ will do what for you? It will free you from the chains of fear. It'll free you from anxiety. It'll free you from doubt. It'll free you from depression. But it does not happen just by some simple prayer. It requires instruction and discipline, along with the consistency to apply what you learn. So are you listening to me today? I've given you some great information. No games. Just how you have to have comprehension, memory, problem-solving, decision-making, awareness. All of these things are available through your spiritual life. And that only comes through the content of the Word of God in your soul. And the only way you're going to get the Word of God in your soul is to learn it. That's why Paul said, I have learned whatsoever shape I'm in to be content. And as I said, you can learn the easy way or you can learn the hard way. That depends on whether you're hard-headed or whether you have some respect for the authority of the Scriptures. Because if you don't respect the Scriptures, then you obviously are going to learn the hard way, and you're going to get burnt many times before you ever find any happiness in your life. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. I hope you'll come back same time next week. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely no manipulation. No manipulation. Because we're going to try to give you something free, not charge you, not sell you, not ask for money, but give you something free, and that's called divine viewpoint. The Word of God, divine viewpoint, is always free. You should never sell it, never charge for it. We got it free, we give it away free. And that's the way the Word of God is supposed to be handled. The Flatline has been on the air now going on, I don't know how many years. We've come close to 1,000 radio shows. That's 1,000 Sundays. I'm grateful for your prayers, grateful for your encouragement, and pray that the Lord will let us keep driving on well past 1,000 into 2025 as we press on down teaching God's Word through the Flatline radio show. You can always go to our website, RickHughesMinistries.org, RickHughesMinistries.org, and there you can download any radio show you wish to hear. Of the past many years we've been doing it, you can play it from the website. You can also order our various books that we got from the website. And another way to listen to the show is to go to podcast on your phone or on your Apple iPad or device, whatever you've got. You can use Apple iPod, you can use Spotify, you can use Podbean, you can use many different social media platforms that are free to download and free to use. And when you get to those downloaded on your phone, you can go to The Flatline. If you search for it, you will find all our radio shows on your podcast device. That means you can listen to them 24/7, any place you may be, in the world, anywhere, anytime. Okay? So I hope you take advantage of that, and I hope you take advantage of our books that we offer. They're all free of charge. We don't sell anything. There's something I want to talk to you about today I think is very critical for us. This deals with our spiritual life. I'd like to discuss that with you. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes people want to know why they don't have much faith or how to increase their faith. And this is the answer here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. In other words, if you listen to the Word of God taught and you apply it into your life, you develop your faith. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11:27, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. That's living by faith. In this passage in Romans 10:17, the Apostle Paul made it evident that in order for an individual to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual must hear the gospel message from someone whom the Lord sends. So if someone wants to become a Christian, somebody's got to go and tell them how to do it. In Romans 10:14-15, the Bible says, how then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Okay, that's the first problem. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? That's the second problem. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Third problem. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? Fourth problem. So let's look at this for a minute. We got someone that's not a Christian. We got someone that needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as their Savior. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? Do you know there are millions and millions of prayers offered every day that are not answered? Remember this. When you hear someone asking God for help or asking God for assistance, you know, maybe it's an athlete. Oh, Lord, help me win this race. Maybe it's a lottery winner. Oh, Lord, help me win the lottery. Maybe it's a doctor saying, oh, Lord, cure me of what I got going on in my life. Millions of prayers are offered every day and probably unanswered, to tell the truth, due to the fact that the individual who's doing the praying, the individual calling out to God, has never received Jesus Christ as Savior to begin with. You hear that? How can they call on him whom they have not believed? There it is. The fact that this individual is calling out and has never received Christ to begin with is wrong. For that individual, God is simply the magic genie in the eight ball for him or her. Unless an individual comes to the Father through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit, then that prayer is simply a request for personal benefit. You know, parentheses, oh God, help me win the lottery. I did make a bookmark. We mentioned it several weeks ago. It's a great bookmark to put in your Bible. 10 reasons your prayers might not be answered. If you want that, go to the website, order it, drop us a note, rickhughesministries.org, or call us at 800-831-0718, and we'll send that to you right away. So, how can they believe if they have not heard? The gospel, the Bible says, is the power of God unto salvation according to Paul. In Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes it, for the Jew first, also for the Greek. How can they believe if they have not heard? You got to hear it to believe it. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it's for this reason, Paul said, we thank God without ceasing because when you heard the word of God, when you received the word of God, which you heard, listen now as he says it, what you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as words from men, but as it is in truth, it is the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe it. So, in order for someone to become a Christian, they got to hear the gospel and believe the gospel, and the rest is up to God. So how can they hear it unless one proclaims the good news of salvation? This is precisely why God left us here to start with. After we got saved, why didn't he just take us on to heaven? Because we are here to be his mouthpiece. In Mark 16:15, and he said to them, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our job. We are the mouthpiece of God in our generation. So how shall they proclaim, the Bible says, unless they're sent? Remember that verse? How can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they believe in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless they're sent? Well, that's very interesting. In Luke 9:34, he said, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, nor do not even have two tunics, that's two suits. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart, and wherever you go, if they won't receive you when you go out of that city, then shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So we have to be going. God sends us, and he says, just depend on me, I'll provide what you need. In Matthew 19:26, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold inheritance in eternal life. Again, I want to read that to you one more time. Listen carefully. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. So you have been sent, and what he's saying is you need to put these other things, make them secondary in your life. If you will make giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ primary, number one issue in your life, then he will reward you unbelievably. Principle. Here's the principle. Listen carefully. God uses prepared people. If you want to be what I call a deployable asset, if you want to be a deployable asset, then you must absolutely understand the mission. And that's your reasonable duty. How can you represent a God that you don't understand? So let's notice a few things right off the bat. He is a God of righteousness, and he is a God of justice, and he is a God of loving kindness. Three traits of God I want to identify for you. Righteousness, justice, and loving kindness. Where would I get something like that? Out of the Bible. Out of Jeremiah 9:23-24. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. And don't let the rich man glory in his riches. 9:24 coming up. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. These are the things I delight in, saith the Lord. In Psalm 145:17, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways and gracious in all of his works. What does it mean when God declares himself to be righteous? Well, you and I can call the righteousness of God plus R. So if you draw a circle on the blackboard, we mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, and put plus R in it, that's God's righteousness. He's perfectly righteous. And if we compare it with our righteousness, we'd have to draw another circle beside it and put minus R in there. So God is absolutely righteous, and we are absolutely not righteous. Simply put, God is morally right and free of any sin, thus absolutely righteous. And you and I, on the other hand, have the stain of Adam's original sin. Thus, we are absolutely unrighteous. We are minus R. Listen to the scriptures. It tells you that. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all men have sinned. Unfortunately, we are not capable of equaling God's righteousness. We can't equal his perfection, so you and I have a problem. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. Isaiah 64:6, we are all like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So there are none of us clean. This verse reveals to us the fact that nothing we can do will ever match God's righteousness. As a matter of fact, even our finest noble moral efforts are obnoxious to God. They're called filthy rags in the Bible. So when righteousness rejects us, then the only thing left is for the justice of God to judge us. Hebrews 9:27, And as it is appointed for man to want to die once, and after that, the judgment. So since we know God is absolute righteous, and we know that man is absolutely not righteous, plus R, minus R, we know that man cannot equal God's righteousness. We've also discovered in the Scriptures that the unfailing love of God provided a way for us to avoid offending His perfect character. I'll say it again. God has provided in Scripture a way for us to avoid offending His perfect character. Notice the wonderful verse in John 3:16. God so loved the world, there's His undying love, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the way that you can avoid the justice of God coming down hard on you. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the Lord Jesus Christ provided the way for us to have a relationship with God by His sacrificial death on the cross. And this unfailing love of God is impersonal. It's not personal, it's impersonal. Why? Because it's based on God's righteousness, not ours. However, once we receive Christ as our Savior, then that love can become personal because He will adopt us into His royal family. Listen to Ephesians 1:5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So what does that mean? It means this divine adoption is made possible because in Christ we have perfect righteousness, just as God does. In Christ we have plus R. Without Christ, we have minus R, regardless of what we try to do, regardless of how moral we may be. We cannot equal God's righteousness. But in Christ, you can equal God's righteousness. How's that possible? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God by means of Him. This is how you do it. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His perfect righteousness is given to you, just as He takes your sin unto Him. And once you have His righteousness, it equals the righteousness of God, and now you're able to talk with God and have fellowship with God through the righteousness of Christ. The gift of equal righteousness allows us to avoid God's justice. Why? Because what the plus R of God rejects, the perfect righteousness of God, what the perfect righteousness of God rejects, then the justice of God must judge it. And this means either you and I will adjust to the justice of God, or God's justice will adjust to us. These divine characteristics of justice and righteousness and unfailing love must be understood if we hope to effectively represent our Lord Jesus Christ and the provisions He made for all of us by means of His death and His resurrection. That's why we're instructed in Scriptures to learn these things, to know these things, to understand these things. Listen carefully as I read it to you. Jeremiah 9:24. Let him who boast about this, that he understands me and he knows me. You must understand righteousness, justice, and unfailing love. You must understand those three things if you hope to effectively represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you hope to effectively provide His provisions because of what He did on the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You have to understand these things. Do you understand it? Do you know what you're talking about? Because if you don't, you cannot be a very effective witness. Because how could you possibly love a God you don't even understand? And how could you effectively represent the one that you cannot even explain? That's why there's a mandate in the Scriptures in 2 Peter 3:18. Grow, grow, grow. That's a mandate. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means you have to learn something. You have to grow. You have to feed. You have to eat it. You have to metabolize it. And that's the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2:15, again, another mandate, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can be ashamed, then it means you got it wrong. You did not rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't understand God's righteousness and you tell some individual that they can equal God's righteousness by being good, by being moral, by not smoking, by not drinking, by not doing something, you're misleading that individual in thinking they can earn their salvation. And that's not even possible. Listen carefully. I am amazed at people who misrepresent the gospel by claiming they must earn redemption from sin by not committing sin. Also, I'm amazed by those who boldly claim you can lose the free gift of salvation if you commit some grievous sin. What are they saying? Well, they're saying that since you can do something to lose it, then you must have to do something to earn it. You gotta earn it by not doing something bad. But listen carefully. In Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible clearly says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast about it." Your salvation is a free gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You didn't deserve to have Christ die for you. He did it because He loved you. He went to that cross and paid for your sin because He loved you. God loves you. Never forget that. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, there it is again, the gift of God is eternal life by means of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's two verses where it talks about the gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, it is the gift of God. And then again in Romans 6:23, the gift of God again. What gift is it? It's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is why you need a well-qualified pastor. It's critical, because many people are in pulpits today that should not be there. They simply are the blind leading the blind. Listen to Ephesians 5:15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as a wise person, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So you have to be very careful. Pay attention. Don't get under the wrong person. This verse is telling us that we are responsible for our own spiritual life. The word "walk circumspectly" means you to be very careful. Please don't be fooled by a mouthful of shiny white teeth and a pleasing appearance. What they teach us is much more important than how they look. So you and I must use wisdom in choosing a church to attend. We must understand that a pleasing personality is not necessarily a gauge for a well-qualified pastor. Ephesians 4:11-13 tells you the job of the pastor. "And he himself gave," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints," that's getting you ready, "for the work of the ministry," that's your full-time job as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, "for the edifying of the body of Christ," that's building up the local church, "till we all come to the unity," that's the same, think the same way, "to the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to be mature individuals to the measure of the stature, the same way that Jesus Christ was mature." God wants you to grow up. When you become a Christian, you have to grow up, and the only way to grow up is to study and learn and apply and glorify God. If you don't take in the Scriptures under a well-qualified pastor, you're not ever going to grow up. You may get into some great-looking church with a great-looking teacher that has a great smile and great biceps and triceps and sounds pretty and acts pretty, but it doesn't teach you anything. I cannot tell you how many letters and calls I get from people that say, "I've learned more from you in the last year than I've learned my whole life in my church." That's a testimony that you should be ashamed of. Are you learning anything? Is your pastor teaching you anything? Or does he just get up there and preach on some topic that maybe you've heard 100 times before? A good pastor will exegete the Scriptures, line upon line, word upon word, precept upon precept. He will take the book of John and go by verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and follow whatever the apostle wrote, teach it. And that's what the Holy Spirit will lead him to do. You got to have a well-qualified pastor if you're ever going to understand these things. If you're ever going to understand what God expects out of you. What does He expect out of you? Well, again, to understand His righteousness and his justice and his unfailing love. Again, I'm going to read that verse again. How can they call on him in whom they've never heard or have not believed? And how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if you don't go preach it? And how can they preach unless they're sent? So that's the four steps that have to happen in order for the world to be evangelized and for someone to be saved. They got to call on someone they've heard about the truth. If they haven't heard, how can they call? And then if they do hear from you, they can make their mind up. And how can they hear without a preacher, a communicator? Kerusso is the Greek word. And how can they preach unless they are sent? So God sends us to different people. There are people in your life right now that God is sending you to. Are you effectively able to communicate God's justice, righteousness, and unfailing love? Can you communicate to them how much God loved them in eternity past by using John 3:16? Can you communicate to them how God gives them the righteousness of Christ through 2 Corinthians 5:17? Can you tell them that? That they cannot be saved by being morally good. They cannot be saved by tithing. They cannot be saved by getting baptized. They cannot be saved by straightening up and flying right. They're saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. And that's just the first step. Then we got to grow. Then we got to understand what God's plan is for our life. God uses prepared people, and you must be prepared. I called you a deployable asset earlier in this message. If you want to be an asset that God can deploy into the mission field at your own agenda, your own home, then you must understand the mission. That's your reasonable duty. You must understand the mission. Because I told you earlier in this message, you cannot represent God if you don't understand God. So that's why we went into these things. He's absolutely righteous. We're absolutely not righteous. He's absolutely just, and he doesn't judge us unfairly. So if we reject the righteousness of Christ, then the justice of God would judge us. Again, listen carefully. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. You do not want to fall in the hands of a just God that's judging you because you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't let that happen. God loves you with unfailing love. He will not turn his back on you. He has provided everything necessary for you to have eternal life with him. It's your gift. It's up to you. You have to make that decision, or you have to tell someone else how they can make that decision. Because as Hebrews 9:27 said, it is appointed the man once to die, and after that, the judgment. It's going to happen to each of us. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Some will be at the great white throne of judgment as unbelievers, and others will be at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians. But we'll all be evaluated. We'll all be judged. So don't let people get out of that. They have to understand this. If they reject the righteousness of God, the justice of God will judge them. I hope you understand it. That unfailing love of God is impersonal. He loves you regardless of who you are. He loves you based on who he is, not who you are. And you love other people the same way. That's one of our great problem-solving devices. Problem-solving device, what? Number 8, impersonal love for all of mankind. Do you know those problem-solving devices? Have you learned them in your life? Are you able to tell me what all 10 of those problem-solving devices are? Because if you can't, if you'll contact me, I'll send you a bookmark. It's got them all listed. Or I'll send you a book that details what each one of them are for you to use and apply into your life. Gee, I wish I had more time with you. It's awful hot in this studio, though, so I'm going to try to get off for now. But thank you for listening to me today. Thank you for joining me every Sunday morning. I had a precious lady call this morning to call our office and say, how do I find your radio show? I live near Detroit. Where is it in the radio dial? People ask me that all the time. Go to our website, rickhughesministries.org, and you can click on the flight line. You can see where the radio shows are played. Well, over 100 cities across America every Sunday morning. All compliments of God's wonderful grace. What a blessing it is for me to be able to bring you this information. So until next Sunday, same time, same place, I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you now for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054. Or online at www.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.